Scott, thank you for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, there's some criminal elements in Cubs history and also in the connection between the Cubs and the Reds. Al Capone was a huge Cubs fan and wanted to buy the team. And wasn't John Dillinger actually spotted at a Reds-Cubs game at Wrigley?
He was spotted at several games. He was a huge baseball fan, and the governor of Indiana thought that he would have made a really good shortstop in the major leagues.
Didn't law enforcement do anything when they saw him there?
Well, it was an off-duty officer who took a buddy of his, and it was his buddy who recognized Dillinger and turned to his friend, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you know, there's a $10,000 reward for this guy." And the law officer said, "Let it go. Didn't want to get involved. Wasn't the time, wasn't the place. You know, I guess have a beverage and just enjoy the game."
Now, Al Capone actually wanted to buy the team. What was his thinking behind that? Was he trying to go legit?
He had had a number of assassination attempts that he had survived. One, in fact, had 1,000 individual bullets fired into a cafe that he was in, and not one of them hit him, believe it or not. You know, he had plans to start his own clothing line. He wanted to write an autobiography of his life and actually star in the movie. He wanted to go into movies. He went so far as to talk to a number of sports writers at the time, Damon Runyon and guys of this nature, and they all told him, "Yeah, I'm a little busy right now, but I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you." Nobody says no to him, but you just couldn't. There was no way anyone wanted to be involved. And going into baseball was a very serious plan that he had that he outlined to his brother Ralph, who was seen at Cubs games quite frequently.
Now, wasn't there a case also where a Cubs owner said he had prior knowledge that gamblers had influenced that 1919 World Series between the Reds and the White Sox?
Absolutely. It was really stunning. I mean, and today, I don't think that such a thing could happen today with everybody paying attention, but in the proceedings for the Black Sox scandal, Charlie Weidman, who was the owner of the Cubs, he told in his answers to the court that he knew everything about it. Mont Tennis was the specific individual in town. Mont Tennis had a great scam, a scam that I had recently seen the movie The Sting with Paul Newman from back in the 70s. And Mont Tennis ran that basic scam on a daily basis where he intercepted the telegraph information of what scores were. He held on to the information long enough to place bets and release the information. So he made himself the intermediary, and he was well known to Cubs ownership, which wasn't followed up on, believe it or not.
Now, there's another connection between Cincinnati and the Cubs that involves the Underground Railroad. What was the story behind that?
Doing research, I talked with the folks at the Underground Railroad. They helped me out. They were wonderful. And we found that there's only been one individual in Major League history whose family can be found to have to use the Underground Railroad to survive. And he's not an African-American, believe it or not. He's an African-Canadian. Fergie Jenkins was a pitcher for the Cubs, and most people know he was a power hitter and held many home run records for pitchers until Carlos Zambrano came along a few years ago. But his family had to use the Underground Railroad to escape slavery, and they ended up in Canada. And as most people who are at least Cubs fans or baseball fans in general know, Fergie Jenkins is considered to be something of a Canadian treasure up there. And having worked with him years ago, I can tell you he was one of my favorite guys to work with, a real down-home, normal, regular kind of guy.
And one of my favorite stories in the book was the one about Dick Cheney when he was vice president, that he pulled an interesting political maneuver with quite a twist to it when he was at the game between the Reds and the Cubs to throw out the first pitch, I think it was.
For Cubs fans, it was the second backstabbing in three games, because two games prior to that was the Steve Bartman game that most people remember being the last game of, you know, the 2003 season. Actually, they had one more after that. But then in the season opened to the following season, they thought they were going to have a friend there. Dick Cheney is a big Cubs fan ever since he was a teenager and went to school at Northwestern for a semester. Instead, he comes out wearing a Cincinnati Reds jacket.
Why did he do that?
Apparently for political reasons. I just can't imagine though asking a Cubs fan to throw out the first pitch in Cincinnati. It just seems like bad timing for me, but they went with the political answer, not the sports fan's answer.
Your book has a really interesting technological aspect to it called Geoverse. Can you tell us what that's about?
What Geoverse does is it allows you, if you're reading the book on an e-reader or whether you just want to look things up afterwards, it brings GPS and video and audio into the mix. So if you want to use the book, you can use the Cubs quotient as a tour guide. If you're just a baseball fan, it'll tell you exactly how far you are from very specific given positions in the world. For example, when you're reading the Al Capone stories, if you want to know exactly where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre happened, you can use Geoverse, click on it. It'll give you personalized directions from wherever you are in the world through Google Maps directly to that location. It'll give you a photograph of it so you have a hint of where it's at. But if you're in town, you can use it as a tour guide here in town, or if you're anywhere. We've got Geoverse locations in Cincinnati. We've got them throughout Chicago, and we've got them in spots around the country. So you can use it as a digital tour guide or watch videos or listen to audio at your leisure, beyond just reading the book.
Scott, is the point of this book that sports like baseball can be a gateway to history?
It really is meant to try and bring the past alive. I realize when I talk to people how everyone thinks that history is one of the most dull subjects. And I don't see it that way. I think that if you use something that you get excited about, in this case, sports, baseball, suddenly you find yourself talking about topics. We go into the Vietnam War. We go into D-Day and World War II. We talk about aviation firsts and why do they do flyovers before games at major events and when did that start? And looking into different parts of real history. And in so doing, it just makes it fun. And then, let's be honest, if you happen to be having an adult beverage at a bar, and a Yankees fan is yakking his mouth too much, or a Red Sox fan is yakking too much, you can turn around and shut them down a little bit by arguing a few points about how your team is better than their team because at least, you know, you guys changed Christianity, for example, if you're a Cubs fan.
That's priceless. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Scott Rowan is the author of The Cubs Quotient, How the Chicago Cubs Changed the World. The Reds start a four-game homestand with the Cubs tomorrow night. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Mark Haney.
Nellie Kelly loved baseball games, knew the players, knew all their names. You could see her there every day, shout hooray when they'd play. Her boyfriend by the name of Joe said to Coney, "I'll dear, let's go." Then Nellie started to fret and pout, and to him I heard a shout.